For a great cup of joe, there's one thing you should know. Your morning brew can also be playful. Buff Boy Brewing guys make the temperature rise, and you surely feel naughty when you swallow our coffee. If you want some real heat, give your mouth a fine treat. You will want some more, rest assured. Buff Boy Brewing, you can't get enough of.
It's time for The Scribble, your weekly fix of celebrity chats, bizarre stories in the news, and basic random chatter with best-selling author and syndicated radio host Jeremy Bradley. Make sure your seat is in the upright and locked position and your barf bag is securely in place. Here's Jeremy Bradley.
Thank you very much, Larson. Jeremy Bradley here. This is The Scribble. When they count down as we're about to go on the air, for some reason now my dogs think, hey, that's our time to cuddle with you and come right up close. And so my golden retriever, Bruno, is sitting right beside me giving me a paw right now. He just leaned right into my chair and almost knocked me over. But thanks for tuning in today. 30 minutes of time-wasting fun here on The Scribble. We've got a celebrity guest joining us in the second half of the show. Joe Bastianich from MasterChef on Fox. We'll be talking about the new season. It premieres on Wednesday. So we'll be having him coming up a little bit later, halfway through the show, I believe. And you know our producer, Suzanne Howler. I always love calling her when she has booked the day off. This is just something, I just love to piss around with people. Bonnie Winters, our executive producer, I used to have fun. Now she already knows that she legitimately turns off her phone or puts it when she knows that our show is being taped. So I can't mess with her anymore. But Suzanne is always a good sport. I'm going to be putting her on the spot, just some random conversation. And we're going to coincidentally talk restaurants and fun stuff leading up to Joe's segment. So that's what we've got on the show today. I hope you will stick around. I hope you will enjoy. And it begins on The Scribble right after this.
This statement has not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. No offense, but are you a little fat when you look in the mirror? How would you like to learn the secret to losing 3 to 5 pounds a week without joining the gym or going through any crazy diets? It's called Body Sculpt RX. For the last 2 decades, we've helped countless people lose thousands of pounds. And now, it's your turn. Learn how to lose weight with one simple phone call and no prescription needed. You'll see an amazing difference in a matter of days. Don't believe us? We'll offer you a risk-free money-back guarantee. So if you're ready to start losing weight, call right now and get a free month's supply with your first order of Body Sculpt RX. Call now. You have nothing to lose but the pounds. 800-459-6838. 800-459-6838. 800-459-6838. That's 800-459-6838.
Listen up, guys. Are you experiencing any of the following? Fatigue? Less drive? Poor performance? If so, you may be one of the nearly 30 million men in the U.S. today dealing with ED. But did you know you don't have to pay hundreds for a prescription anymore? And you don't have to deal with the hassle of seeing the doctor or the embarrassment of going to the pharmacy for a certain pill. Now, with one free call, you can find out how Herbal Virility Max can help you feel like a man again. For over a decade, Herbal Virility Max has helped guys just like you put a smile back on their face with improved performance and drive. Call today and ask about our buy one, get one free offer. Save the money, save the hassles, and get the better blue pill. Dial 800-578-0179. That's 800-578-0179. 800-578-0179.
Hello?
Terrible Person of the Year Award winner Suzanne Howler joining us on the line live. Suzanne.
Thank you. Hello.
Oh, how are you?
Oh, good. Good. Despite being a terrible person and all, I'm pretty good.
It took us forever to find your new number. I should tell everybody, she's changed her phone number on us. We can't even find out where she sells her house. She quits her job, sells her house, moves. And, you know, I don't know if I told you the last time that we spoke, which I think was like 3-4 weeks ago, that I'm going to come to your open house on a very, very good Metamucil day. And what I'm going to do is, I haven't even told you what I'm going to do, and you're already
like, clog my toilet moment? Is that what you're planning?
I'm not going to make any promises. I'm not going to make any promises. It could have been the backyard. You don't know that. But I'll give that to the dogs for the backyard. So we have a couple things. We've got some time to kill here. So I think of you because you were the last on the list, right? So
yeah, I know. When you have no one else to call,
we Bonnie doesn't answer. And
I'm aware.
We used to, back when you would speak to us, we used to do lunch quite regularly. I know you often will put it in your calendar and then just forget, or you lost your phone, or you change your number. But we've gone to many buffets, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Do you miss the buffet? No, I'm not even saying with me, because I know you just can't get enough of me. But do you miss the whole buffet thing, given this whole, like, germ society? Or, well, not, you know, what, you know where we're at with this whole corona thing. Do you miss the buffet? Will you ever go back to a buffet?
I don't know. Funny enough, I was thinking about that this evening because I was thinking about, you know, our upcoming lunch date that we may or may not have. And I was thinking, oh, wouldn't it be nice to go back to our usual buffet place that we went to? And I did actually have that thought pass through my head, like, I don't know how comfortable I feel going to a buffet. Like, I guess it would depend, but I don't know. I'm not sure I'm comfortable enough to do that yet. It's one thing going out to restaurants, right? Because you're usually separated from other people, and it's usually just, you know, your servers and your chefs that are preparing your food. When you have a buffet, everybody is sort of near that food, and you don't know who's touching it. And so, yeah, I honestly don't think I'm ready to go back to a buffet yet.
Well, I'm touching it. You're saying that's not... Oh, at the buffet. Okay, yeah.
Well, you think about, like, the salad bar area.
You missed that again. You know, don't make me play the clip about when you had your dog killed. You missed the joke. I set you up for the joke that I say, I'm touching it now, and then you just steamroll it. It's the Alzheimer's. It was the dementia. What is it? I don't even remember what it is. You have something. Because
what
you can't
are you talking
eat. Well, because you can't eat chicken fingers. This is. Let me tell everybody, first of all, what going to a restaurant with Suzanne is like, okay? I am the life of the party. I have the great fruity drinks. I do a great selfie with my shining white teeth. And then you've got Suzanne,
always,
who has the nerve.
You would not sit okay. down to have a meal no. without taking a selfie.
Now, here's
so
the...
annoying.
But this is the funny thing, ladies and gentlemen, with the fives of people listening, that Suzanne will say to me... Well, you're the picky one when it comes to deciding to a restaurant. Do you or do you not say that? You have called me a picky eater, yes?
I have in the past.
Okay,
yes,
so, sure, stop there. Now, when we get to the restaurant, this is where me of pickiness will go and say, yeah, I'll get the chicken burger. I might not want some of the ingredients on it because the mayo is bad for you, things like that. So I'll say, you know, do you have another alternative? So I'll do that. But then you've got Suzanne who's like, oh, I can't have chicken. I can't have tomato. I can't have sauce. I can't have flavor. Can I just have a napkin to lick? Like that's really what she does at a restaurant. So I'm the picky one. Yeah.
But see, what you're not mentioning is that I used to be the not picky one until recently when I've developed food sensitivities, and now I have to be the picky one, and it's not by choice. I wish I wasn't the picky one. But
well, we were going
to
save this.
So much easier to make fun of you.
Announcement.
Why you just only eat chicken fingers and fries or anything with bacon on it.
For next week. But Suzanne's pregnant is what she's trying to get at. And so I didn't want to share the news. But this is why they've had to move. Because they're not allowed kids in their neighborhood. But when there's an office lunch or function, you know, and then you order... food, usually it's pizza, right? That's typical. Are you one of the people? I have this feeling you are, but I've never seen you. I've seen you at a pizza buffet, but that's already the pizza served out there for you. Are you the person who goes and opens every box and leaves it open? Or do you prefer having the box closed and then it's just written what's on it and you open it?
Let's see. I don't know. I would probably look at the pizza anyway. Even if it was written on it, because I want to look at it and see if it looks appetizing.
But I'm saying the people who go and open every box and like have them on display. Are you that person?
Yeah.
to go and like, okay, I'm going to open all the, because I feel that those assholes, it's like, think about it. The pizza's not going to be as hot when the rest of the people go. I hate the person who does that. Whoever, I don't know if it's the person who's organizing it. I don't know if it's just somebody who, you know, oh, it's too heavy to lift this cardboard box lid. So I'm just going to leave the boxes closed. Somebody can write what's on it. And generally it's written on there already if you're ordering enough pizzas. I hate the person who does it, though. And I feel like you would be, just because you're a bitch like that, that you would go and that you would open everybody. Just like, oh, here's the pizza. It's all on display. No, it's getting fucking cold. Close the lids. People can look.
I would keep the lids closed, but I would be the one that I would probably write on there what it is. Or, I don't know, depends. If I wasn't one of the ones organizing it, then I probably just wouldn't care and people can figure it out for themselves. But... no, I definitely wouldn't be leaving the pizza boxes open.
I hate those people. I don't, and I've never seen anybody do it. Because, actually, no, I have seen somebody do it. I almost want to go and say, like, can you close the lids, though? Like, we might be the first ones up in the line here, because I am the first at a buffet line. But, yeah, it's like, have some consideration for the other people. I appreciate that you want to, like, open it, have it, oh, it's just easy to grab a piece. But you're making it super cold. Yeah. Like, why do that? That's so disrespectful to the other people.
Yeah, I agree.
And let's remind everybody that Joe Bastianich from Fox's MasterChef is coming up in just a few minutes. But Suzanne, you know that I have that connection with that pizza buffet. And I've told you the story that I would go with my brother. We would go since high school. Well, I was in junior high even. And now that we're adults and when we're speaking to each other, you know, we would go to the buffet for 2 hours. It would start at 11:30. We would go there until 1:30. We're not eating the entire time. We're shooting the breeze. I'm talking about my business success. He's bitching about his wife. And we have that conversation. That's our brotherhood bonding. And I think that's what it is the buffet is not, yes, you eat as much as you can and then you feel useless for the rest of the afternoon. But it's that social, you don't feel as rushed like when you're sitting down for a meal that's being brought to you by the server, right? Because at a buffet, you're kind of serving yourself. You're just sort of, you're at your own pace, I feel. And so I feel a buffet is much more social.
Mm-hmm. It is somewhat, I guess. Yeah, I would agree.
And I'm still trying to figure out, you talk about our regular buffet place. You're talking about the ice cream where we get the ice cream and the slushes? Is that's the place you're talking about?
Yes, and they have, they have you go up and get the salad bar or whatever, but then you go to get the hot food, somebody serves it to you. Like, you serve yourself for the salad.
Right. I wasn't sure if you were talking about the pizza place, but you're talking,
the one. No, I was not talking, when we did go, I wouldn't call the pizza one a regular one, because I don't even know if that exists anymore, but the other one was the other food place. Oh, and then there was another one we went to, too. We've been to a few buffets, because wasn't there a lunch buffet in another place?
That's why
one of the hotels.
Right. Well, because this is the thing, is that she has all these secret hotel rooms that she doesn't tell her husband about. But that's why I was saying, when you said, like, our buffet, I was thinking, we've gone to, like, 10. So I didn't, we've gone to the one with the ice cream, and then we've done the pizza one, I know, quite a few times. I think we've just sort of sampled from others. I don't know that we've necessarily gone to, we've never religiously or, you know.
Not regularly, maybe. But there was one that we've been to quite a few times that has, like, the hot food and the salad bar or whatever. We've been there a number of times. Yeah,
it's funny because I talk about the buffet that I was going to with my brother, and that restaurant ended up closing, or that location closed. They ended up not having dine-in after a while, and when I heard that they were going to be closing, this is absolutely true, one of the guys that I went to high school with still worked there part-time at lunches, and he's like, well, this is the greatest. It's like, it's a buffet that I just go and take your dirty plates, bring you a new drink, and then, you know, and I'm still getting tips from it. And so I made a point of this because I have absolutely no life, and Suzanne can attest to this, but I made sure that I was the last customer at this location before they went and renovated and went smaller. Before they shut down the buffet, I was the very, very last customer, and my high school friend served me. There was just a moment. I went by myself, of course, because I have no friends, but I just kind of felt, this was like the end of an era, even though most people in the neighborhood would have been like, oh, the buffet is still there? Oh, I didn't even know. There was just something, I guess, because it, you know, it takes you back to your childhood, and there's, you know, I've gone with so many people there, right? And that's even with my colleague Bonnie, who I've known for 16 years now. I mean, that's something that I was going with her and our other coworkers when we worked at another place before. And so I'm just thinking about the number of people who I've brought through that place and the different locations too, that there was just kind of like, wow, this was sort of like the OG location though. And it was sort of a weird kind of a moment. So I made sure that I stole some rolled cutlery. I don't know if I ever told my friend that, but surprise, there we go. I'm admitting to theft on the air, everybody.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Oh, well. I think that's all the time that we have for. I know you enjoy a two-hour phone call, but we don't have that kind of time today because we've got to get to Joe from Fox. So, Suzanne Howler, thank you so much for joining us. I will talk to you. I think we're due again in September to chat.
Oh, right. Sounds like a plan. We'll talk to you then.
Ever had something to get off your chest but never had the balls to say it? That's a load of crap. Speak Free with JB.com is exactly what you've been waiting for. Your chance to tell it like it is and not care what anybody else thinks. Have your say on issues of the day. Join newspaper and radio columnist Jeremy Bradley as he tells it like it is. Hundreds of thousands of people have stopped by, including some well-known celebrities who have had a chat with JB and speak candidly about what's really going on in the world. You can join them too. Have a rant or a rave. Be brave and head on over to www.speakfreewithjb.com now.
Who are the Kardashians feuding with now? What did that little thug Justin Bieber do this time? Who's getting hitched and who's headed for Splitsville? Hear the latest celebrity news and gossip every day, an entertainment wrap-up. The good, the bad, the ugly, but mostly the ridiculously hilarious. It's all recapped in this daily segment at entertainmentwrapup.com. Have a laugh at the expense of the rich and famous when they take themselves way too seriously. It's 3 minutes of time-wasting fun at entertainmentwrapup.com. Check out Entertainment Wrap-Up at entertainmentwrapup.com. Brought to you by Speak Free Books.
Everybody knows my idea of cooking is opening an app and having the food delivered 45 minutes later. So to inspire me to use my own kitchen for once is Joe Bastianich from Fox's MasterChef. Hi, Joe.
Hi. That's a tall task, but let's see what I can do.
Well, you know, MasterChef is back. The food shows always kind of, they make me hungry, and then I kind of feel inspired to try some of the dishes. I just know I can't do it. But the show is back, and so are a bunch of the previous contestants. That's the twist. It's back to win. You've brought back the, non-winners, let's call them.
We did. You know, the faces that people loved over the years, and those non-winners who a lot of times went out to have greater success in the real food world than the winners, opening restaurants, writing books and blogs and what have you. So Instagram fame. So a lot of big personalities, a lot of really talented cooks, and we set the bar super high.
Set the bar super high. Now, it's not just finalists, though, right? I mean, I should tell everyone that someone who served a raw cake barely made it into the competition is back. So why bring these people back?
Well, because these are the people that A, are beloved by fans, and B, have done like real things in the world. We wanted the top of the top, so we went out and saw about people who had opened up restaurants, who were operators in the food world. You know, all that kind of stuff was important in selecting who could come back.
Right. I mean, you know, everybody deserves a second chance, as they say, and so I guess that's one of those things that I'm sure there's people every season that you kind of file away and think, you know what, give them a couple more years, you know, or even just one more season,
right?
And that's probably what happened this time.
People with more talent to get eliminated maybe early on a technicality. That happens all the time as well.
Right. And actually, you know, speaking of raw food, there is one thing that makes me feel good when I watch the show, is that anytime I see someone serve raw chicken, I feel like an expert. That's really the one thing that I can cook. I've always made sure that I can do chicken. So if you guys ever do a season where it's just chicken dishes, I'm in. Can you make that happen?
We'll do a chicken, winner, chicken dinner season, and you will be a contestant.
Perfect. All right. It's a deal. Now, in the competition, though, I mean, you compare individual dishes each round, meaning the contestants are competing against each other, essentially, in that moment. I mean, with these people coming back, though, how much are you judging them against themselves based on their past time on the show? Or are they starting fresh? Or is it a brand new start entirely?
No, it's a brand new start. You know, we have an entry-level competition round where we select 20. They present their opening dish. They get selected there. So, you know, that the stakes couldn't be higher for these guys, because maybe someone who came in third place in season 10 doesn't even get passed into the top 20. So they're putting it out on the line by coming back and cooking.
And I don't know if this is a spoiler or not, but in that first episode, you guys eliminate, what is it, 85 or 110 people? That's a lot of people you're kicking out.
100 people get a little tasted a lot of food.
Let me ask you, though, when you do taste the dishes, like generally we see you each take one, you know, fork or spoonful, you pause for a second, then you put it down. Do you know the second it hits your mouth if you like it or not, or do you have to go in for a couple more tastes? Give me that insight.
99% of the time, I'll know by the first taste. Sometimes we need a second evaluation. Sometimes there's a difference between the judge's opinions, so we retaste. So there's a lot of different ways that our method to our madness, shall we say.
But on the flip side of that, I mean, how often do you guys just go to town and finish the whole thing if you really like it?
Oh, off camera sometimes. We're fighting for scraps on these dishes because we're hungry.
Are there any ingredients that, when you see somebody using them, you just think, people often get that one wrong? You know, sometimes, you know, people will, I'm not saying on the show, but, you know, either use too much garlic or too much spice or something. Is there one ingredient that you're always sort of cautious of when you see somebody using it?
Balsamic vinegar, cannoli nuts, anything truffle-scented, condiments are the top three for me.
You've been doing this for a really long time. Is there anything this season on MasterChef that one of the contestants maybe taught you about food that you didn't know or hadn't thought of?
You know, always in the baking department, because I'm not a baker. Some of these contestants are excellent bakers. I learned about techniques and flavors and cakes and desserts that maybe I'm not so familiar with. So that's an area that I have learned over the years.
Let's shift gears, though, just for a quick second, because there's a lot of people struggling to eat healthy and buy good food with the prices of everything going up. So if I can just pick your brain for a second to help the families get through this. I joked at the top that, you know, I order food, so that's one thing to avoid if you want to save money. But what can families do in the kitchen?
More balance. We have historically been a country that eats an excessive amount of fat and protein compared to the rest of the world, which eats mostly rice and pasta. And I think that, you know, using proteins and fats as a condiment, and maybe eating more carbohydrates in proportion, like rice and pasta, homemade pasta, dried pasta, tomato sauces are a great way to extend. I mean, you can make an incredible homemade pasta dish, you know, buy a great pound of pasta for $2, some Parmesan tomatoes, a little olive oil and garlic. You got dinner for $4 or $5, you know, so there's so many ways that you can extend your culinary dime, shall we say.
I know a lot of people who map out their, you know, their food, they prep their meals well in advance. I've never been one of those people. I've never really brought a lunch to work. It's always kind of what I'm wanting in that moment, and then I just go and get it. Do you plan out your meals? I guess that's something that could potentially help people as well.
Yeah, personally, I don't, because I'm always kind of eating professionally and tasting, so I'm a bit of an exception. I think that most people, you know, in a home, both for nutrition and also for economics, should plan out their meals. You should shop at grocery stores, buy seasonal products, and, you know, plan out your menu.
Absolutely. And like I said just a moment ago, I think with everybody sort of looking for food alternatives because they're either, you know, locked down or because the cost of everything is going up, I think this show will maybe help inspire people to get into the kitchen more.
Absolutely. We've done also many challenges through the years, and maybe even this year on cooking on a budget. A lot of these people come from realities where they have to cook on a budget. So that is always a theme on eating clean and responsibly. You know, it's something that we really promote, and not wasting ingredients. You know, it's frugality is a form of is something to be lauded in the kitchen, because I think it also leads to better dishes ultimately.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, I think you've inspired me to close the apps and cook something tonight, so I'll let you know how it goes.
There you go. Make sure you cook the chicken all the way through and don't reduce balsamic vinegar.
Absolutely noted. I have noted that as well. Well, you know what? We're going to be watching MasterChef. It's back on Fox. Joe, when can we catch the show?
We catch the show. It airs Wednesday night on Fox at 8 o'clock, and we look forward to seeing you there.
Joe Bastianich from MasterChef, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Isn't it crazy that you wait for payday, but before you know it, you're strapped for cash again? It's time to stop blowing your money and become a smart spender with the book, The Official Guide to Being an American Cheapskate at CheapskateBook.com. Learn simple ways to cut costs at home every day and during special times of the year. Don't go broke at Christmas. Don't remortgage the house for a fancy vacation. The book is filled with tips to save you money throughout the year. Check out the best-selling book, The Official Guide to Being an American Cheapskate at CheapskateBook.com or on Amazon and iTunes.
It's never too early to start thinking about your next holiday. Have you checked out Mexico recently? From tequila tasting, swimming with horses, to zip lining through the jungle, and watching whales and dolphins in their natural habitat, Puerto Vallarta has it all. Visit mexico.jbonair.com to see all the fun PV has to offer. That's at mexico.jbonair.com for hundreds of photos, interviews, and videos from around the tourist hotspot. Check out mexico.jbonair.com for all the fun. That's mexico.jbonair.com.
We hear you chirping. Get scribbling. Tweet up the scribble at the Scribble Show. Join the discussion with Jeremy Bradley. It's all going down right now on Twitter at the Scribble Show and at thescribbleshow.com.
Jeremy Bradley here, back on the Scribble. This weekend is Victoria Day for our Canadian friends, and Prince Charles and Camilla. See, I guess even if your country isn't, the whole Commonwealth thing, whatever. I mean, you know who Prince Charles is, right? I don't need to explain that. But they are celebrating the Queen's Jubilee. She's been in some poor health lately, and it's been up to Charles to kind of, he's going to be next, right? He's going to be king. So he's doing the whirlwind tour of, the different countries and things. And so he was just in Canada. I believe he left last night, Thursday night. And it was 3 days where he, I guess, was supposed to be celebrating, right? This is the Queen's Jubilee. He's right. He's doing the rounds. But Canada has so much scandal with different residential schools and different conflicts, or not, drama with the Indigenous past. And it's certainly a hot topic in Canadian news on a regular basis. So I think maybe that's why they only made it a 3-day visit, is that he's just bombarded with the scandals. And obviously, yes, everything that happened, if you're not familiar with the residential school crisis, it's been a very tragic story for generations. So I'm addressing this to like our American listeners or elsewhere around the world, that it was just, it's a horrible thing that happened to many, many different people. And so they are, the royal couple is coming and basically almost in a sense being confronted. And so I kind of wonder if it was only a 3-day visit because they sort of thought, we don't want to have these people here and we're just, protesting or preaching to them, all these things. But it certainly was a very underwhelming visit. And I was watching some of it just earlier in the week because, like I said, it was Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I think is what it was. And they, I don't know, if I were them, I'd just kind of be like, why the hell did we go to Canada? This was kind of, we're having to apologize for all this stuff. And they play, the crown played a big part of this whole residential school thing, they're saying. So I can understand that. But what was supposed to be a big celebration of the Queen's work and life, really, was very, very overshadowed. I'm not saying it should not have been. I'm just saying that I'm commenting on a story that's in the news, I guess, is kind of what my point is. And so because we're coming into the holiday weekend, that's obviously what made me think of it. So they were in Canada. They didn't really go to any of the major, big cities that you normally would when they tour the country, because it's been several years since they were in Canada. But they were, kind of met with having to do almost the apology tour at certain stops along the way. So I'm not sure that they were hyping up, they being the government, hyped up the Queen's Jubilee, last year and earlier this year. And as Canadians, not that people are, all about the crown and all about the Queen and the monarch and what have you, but certainly most Canadians, I could ask, if I called my mom right now, we don't have time, we've got less than a minute and a half, but if I called my mom right now and just said, Mom, do you know what Canada's doing for the Queen's anniversary? Like, do you know what's happening? Do you know what's happening in your hometown? Have you, been caught? Because it's just days away, right? It's literally in a week or two. Do you know what's happening? Do you know how our country's recognizing it? She would say no. And she, her and my dad are retired, so they're home all the time. They've got the news channels on 24/7. She would not know what Canada's doing, which is, it's kind of sad. sad. Now, that brings up the whole debate about, is the monarch, is the queen necessary? Is it just time to do away with it? I mean, that's a whole other story. But what I'm saying is that if you've been in the same role for that long, even if it's 20, 30, 40 years, I mean, we're going 50, 60, 70 with this woman. You know, it's a little bit, you do recognize it, whether you agree with what it is or not, right? So, anyway, that's my thought. Send me an email live at jbonair.com. Don't email me. I'm not protest. I'm not saying, I'm not making light of the residential school thing. I'm not saying that that should not have been put to them when they come to Canada. I'm just saying that it made me think it's Victoria Day weekend. The royals were here, and I don't know that they got the warmest welcome they were expecting for the Queen's Jubilee. My name is Jeremy Bradley. This is The Scribble. I will talk to you same time, same place next week. Have a great day, everybody. Talk to you soon.
Want more Scribble? Check out thescribbleshow.com for past shows, celebrity interviews, cheapskate tips, and more. That's at thescribbleshow.com and on Twitter at @thescribbleshow. The Scribble is a speak-free media presentation.
If you want some real heat,